So at New Life Church, we teach that faith is a journey. It's not a destination. And the reason why we teach that is because a lot of people get caught up in faith being somewhere where they've arrived. And we want you to know that it's a constant journey. And so we believe that God has written this journey, and we want to help you take this journey at New Life Church. And we believe that it's not a journey we wrote. It's a journey that God wrote. And there are so many examples as early as the book of Exodus all the way through. So many examples of where God laid out a plan for us so that we can follow and live this life for him. And we believe it looks like this. It's kind of executed in four different ways. And so we teach it simply as this. Number one is you belong. Meaning, this is where you get to know God. You belong to the family of God. And God is not something in the distance. That God is someone who wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to be your heavenly Father. He wants to know you. He wants you to be a part of his family. And so we want you to belong, first and foremost, to the kingdom of God, to the family of God. And so it's very, very important. In fact, that took place this morning out in the lobby before church even started. You guys, I was able with Elder Pat, with Pat Fannin, our head usher, I was able to pray with a young man to give his heart to Jesus just this morning. He belongs into the family of God. And so that was awesome. And then we believe the second thing is that you grow. And this is where, like Cindy and Jesse shared, this is where you find your freedom. This is where you grow in your faith. And the Lord helps you through the Word of God to transform your mind. And you begin to grow in your relationship with God and grow. This is where you confront some of the habits and some of the past and some of the hurts. And you begin to let some of that stuff go. And you begin to find your healing through that. And God brings you through. And so we believe that the second part is grow. And it's very important. Next is the word serve. And serve is also very important because serve, this is where you discover your purpose and your passions and you begin to work. See, there's a lot of us here that still deal with the issue that we don't think we're worthy. And we think that there's some of us because we weren't raised in a very loving family, and some of us may have been raised in a family that was said that, you know, you're never going to amount to anything. Maybe you were not actually told that, which would have been super rude and super mean, but maybe it's just how you were treated. And so you didn't grow up with love, and you didn't grow up with encouragement. And so you struggle and fight the thought that this world would be better off without you. And you struggle and fight the thought that you don't have a purpose and a plan, and you just kind of drift. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God does have a plan. That is a lie from the pit of hell. This world is not better off without you. This world needs you because God, you've been on God's mind all along, and he's got a great plan for your life. And so serving is a huge part of following this journey of faith. And that leads to the last step, and it is to go. And we're all called to go. Every single one of us, we're called to go. Go do what? Go make a difference. Make a difference in this world. Take the love and the light of Jesus Christ. Share the story of our faith journey with everybody we come into contact with. Let that light shine as bright as you possibly can and represent the kingdom of God. And so we're all here to share our faith in this broken world. And I, with all my heart, I want this for our church. I want this for our region. I want you to belong, to grow, to serve, and to go. I want you fulfilling the purpose and the call of God in your life. I want you stepping out and taking risks by faith and living for Jesus. And so that's why we share on specific vision days this heart that we have for your life. We shared just a month ago, and we're going to have more of these vision Sundays frequently and randomly throughout the year to keep you connected. But part of the process of reaching people, and we shared this a month ago, was that in the first quarter of 2020, we were going to make some changes. Now, if you're new here, my wife and I took New Life Church, stepped into the lead pastor role after my parents had been serving as pastors for over 34 years here. Of course, mom and dad are preaching. They're out the whole month of January. They're preaching somewhere because my dad and mom, they're on the move. They didn't retire. They just got even more busy. But my wife and I stepped into the role as pastor back in August, and we've been having a blast just loving Jesus, and we've been keeping things super simple. Now, I don't know if you think this, you know, what I do is simple, but this to me has been very simple. But in 2020, we're going to get a little bit more aggressive. We're going to get a little more aggressive with the vision that God's placed on our heart. And so we shared with you that in the first quarter of 2020, among other things, One thing that we are going to do is launch a second Sunday morning service, because in 2020, people need options, and we've had so many new people coming in, and so we wanted to provide opportunities. And so I'm excited to share with you all this morning that beginning Sunday, February 9th, we are starting a 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. Everybody give it up. 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We're going to reach even more people for Jesus. Now, that's a whole month away. So don't freak out and show up at 9 a.m. next Sunday unless you're here super early. We'll give you donuts. Or show up super late at 11. It doesn't start till Sunday, February 9th. When? February 9th. Now, we're going to promote hard and heavy, and we're going to go after it and have a lot of fun. And so here's what you can do in the meantime to help us. Number one is pray about what service you're going to attend. And I'm going to encourage you that if you're a new lifer here and you've been coming a while, consider serving one and sitting one to help us getting it started so that we have enough volunteers. You know, it takes a lot of volunteers to keep these services rolling, and with the children and youth and ushers and worship and different areas. And so consider serving one and sitting one at first to help us get it going. Everybody can get an invite card and invite someone to church. Now, don't wait until we start the second service to invite someone to church. But everybody can be a part of inviting. And to this day, the number one way people become or show up to church for the first time is through personal invitation. So I encourage you to be all in and invite people. But we're very, very excited about what God's doing and how he's moving here at New Life Church. And we're trusting God for more and more stories. All right, now, back to the message. Belong, grow, serve, and go. Now, everyone in here is what I would call you're on a spiritual continuum. In other words, nobody here has yet arrived. Nobody here has got this book all figured out, and you've got perfect faith, and you know your attendance chart is filled with gold stars because you didn't miss a single Sunday, and everything has just worked out perfectly. Nobody in here has arrived. Everybody in here, no matter whether you've been saved for 50 years or you've been saved for 5 years, everyone in here has a next step to take. Everybody in here, myself included, we have a next step to take. We have another step. And so it's very, very important for us to take that step. And at New Life, we're doing everything we can to help make those steps clear. But let's be honest. And this happens every year, the beginning of the year. We all have these big lofty goals and all these big lofty ideas and how we're going to change, and we're going to lose this, and we're going to add this, and we're going to do better at this. And we have these clear steps we want to take, but it's tough to get motivated, isn't it? Isn't it sometimes? So a lot of times we need a little bit of a shove, just a little bit of a nudge, maybe a little bit of a kick to get things rolling, get things moving. So I'm going to admit to you one of my sins this morning, 2020. I have issues behind the wheel. I really do. I have anger issues. I mean, when I'm driving behind the wheel, especially when my kids are like, amen. Yeah, you're both grounded. I am the least Christ-like behind a wheel. I'm the least amount of follower of Jesus behind a wheel, especially when it comes to sitting at a red light and the light turns green and the person in front of me is doing this. Can I get an amen? And so when this happens, and it happens often, so where I live in Ona, and where I live in Ona, I have it timed. I know exactly how long the cycle is for me to make the green light to pass through so I can turn left down Route 60 and get home. And so I know that if I'm so far back in the lane, I know how long it's going to take me and how much time is going to pass for me to hit that green cycle so I can make it. I've been driving this for years and years now, and so it gets on my nerves when I'm sitting there and people aren't moving. It just drives me nuts. And there's sometimes where I'm starting to get mad and I'm starting to say things. And my wife is like, Josh, you're a lead pastor now. You can't say this stuff. And I'm like, and she's like, what if they're members of our church? And I'm like, well, I'm a teacher and I'm about to teach them something. We'll get real serious. Like, what do they, I mean, you know what they're doing. They've got the phone up and it's like they've chosen the green light in that moment to take a selfie or to respond to somebody on social media or whatever it is, respond to text. It drives me nuts. And in that moment, what I tend to do is I give them a little love tap. Honk, honk. Honk, honk. But what I really want to do is, oh. That would have been so great, you guys. That's all right. That's all right. What I'm going to really do is beep. That's what we want to do. I'm going to have to do it without all the cool effects. My $3. That would have been so great. And it froze my middle finger. But the reason why we give them the little honk is why? Just to let them know, hey, the light is green, right? Light is green. Move. Move. Get it going. I don't want to miss this green light. And so let me tell you something. My wife and I, as lead pastors and our staff and our leadership team here, we eat, sleep, breathe, drink your spiritual journey. We are all about you growing in your faith. And so this series is like Pastor Josh going, beep, beep. Right now, what I would have liked to have done is honk that horn again real loud, but that is what this series is all about. And I'm not going to just blow the horn hard and you know, be mean and a big jerk about it, but this series is about me honking that horn, giving you some honk honks, some beep beeps, get you going, get you moving, because the light is green, y'all. The light is green. It's time to get moving in 2020 for the Lord. He's got some things for us, and until you make the decision to move, we're just going to be sitting there. So this is about now is the time. Now is the time. So for the next 4 weeks, I don't want you to miss a single week. Don't miss a single week. This is one of those get you moving series, get you moving teaching, little horn honking, and the light is green and it's time to get moving. So now, I'm also very honest. We're an honest church. We don't come in here and say one Sunday is going to change your life. I mean, in fact, at New Life, we teach you to give us 6 months. We tell you to take the 6-month challenge. And in 6 months, the Word of God working in your life, the Spirit of God working in and through you will absolutely change and transform you. We're honest. But I also know this. During this one Sunday, we can give you the Word that will motivate you to make the decision to change, that the rest of your life can change from, give you the passion and be the catalyst for the change that takes place in your life. And so that's what this is all about, because God wants to take you on this journey, on this process. So I'm going to nudge you a little bit. I mean, I was willing to blow that horn right in y'all's ear and risk my finger for it. But I'm going to nudge you a little bit, because there are a lot of areas where the light is green in our life and we don't want to leave us just sitting there. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 9. If you did not receive a handout and you want to follow along with the scripture, we've got all the scriptures for you. With some fill-in-the-blank, so if you need a pen, raise your hand. Ushers will help take care of you this morning. And we're going to we'll have these outlines for you all month long for this series. And I encourage you to fill these out. It's scientifically proven to improve your retention, first of all, which is a healthy thing. But also, I think it's in the Ten Commandments that you're supposed to do this. Don't look it up. Just trust me. Now, we're going to use this morning the Message translation, and the Message translation is interesting because it's not actually a certified translation of the Bible. It's a paraphrase version that a man wrote, but there's a lot of truth that we can get from it, so I felt it was necessary to use it, and I love the way he shared, and so we're going to use this Message translation. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 9. Just keep the scripture on the screen while I'm going through this, and I'll kind of work through it. But Luke chapter 9, verse 57, where we're starting, it says this. Now, on the road, someone asked Jesus if he could go along. In other words, he's saying, hey, Jesus, I think I'm ready here. It's a new year. I'm ready. I want to start my life with you. I want to start things with you. I want to start this new life. I'm ready to go, Jesus. And then he even throws in the word, I'll go wherever. I'm willing to go wherever, Jesus. That's a loaded word, Jesus. Wherever? Really? If you're really willing, then that's a big deal. And he threw that word wherever. Let's do this right now. And Jesus didn't give him the little courtesy honk. He didn't go beep, beep. Jesus, the Bible says, was curt. He was blunt. He was bold. He gives this strong answer, this strong reply to him. And he says, really? Are you really ready? Are you ready to rough it? Because if you're going to come with me, he says, we don't stay in the best hotels. Hey, we don't eat at the best restaurants. We don't always have the highest and all the nicest and all the smoothest, and it's not how this works. And see, already in the beginning of this passage, we're already learning that for some of us, the reason why we aren't living the best version of ourselves, who we would love to be, but we know we're not, one of the reasons why is because we keep looking for the easy way to follow. We keep looking for the easy road. We keep looking for the easiest path. Some of us keep looking for the shortcuts. And Jesus says, there aren't going to be any shortcuts here. Because listen, if it was easy, you'd already be doing it. In fact, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. But Jesus says, this is not easy. What you're asking, this is not something easy. Now, if you're willing, we'll help you. We'll clear the path. But you got to buckle up. You got to put your foot on the gas. You got to be willing to move this thing. Everybody listen. Jesus says, so Jesus said to another, follow me. Follow me. He said, certainly. But first, excuse me for a couple days. First, excuse me for a couple days. This person now, he wants to follow Jesus, but he's going to list some reasons and some excuses why, and they're viable excuses. He says, hey, I have to make arrangements for my father's funeral, which sounds like a great reason to me. I think that there's a justified reason. A death in the family would be one of them, but according to Jesus, he says, nope. He says, you're missing it. First things first, your business is life, not death, and life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. Wow. He says, I've got something I want you to be involved in, and it's prioritized even more. And then another said, I'm ready to follow you, master, but first you need to excuse me too, he goes on to say. I got to get things straightened out at home. Now, this is the person who says, now, I'd really love to serve, Pastor Josh. I'd really like to get involved, but I just got a lot of things going on in my house. I got my kids, and I got my job, and I got all this, and I got all that, and everything going on. And, you know, isn't there always something that's going to keep you from being the best version of yourself and who God's called you to be? Isn't there always an excuse? Isn't there always a justified reason? We've always got things going on. And this is what Jesus said to him. And this is why I chose this translation at the very end. I love this. And Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Seize the day. Honk, honk. Seize the day. Get moving. The light is green. It's time to get this rolling. And so, here we are, brand new year, brand new opportunity to get things moving. Let's be honest, it's really no different than any other month, starting in January, it's no different, but in our minds, we think it's a fresh start. And so I want to take advantage of that. We want to start some things new. And so I thought, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to start. Now is the time to move. Now is the time to embrace. Now is the time to step up and become who God's called us to be and do what God's called us to do and do it in a way that pleases Him. And do it in a way that makes a difference in this tri-state region and in our homes. And so we're going to talk about now is the time. Now, let's be honest with a couple things first. Some of us have been into the bad habit of dragging old things into the new year. Some of us drug some old pain, some old habits, some old hurts, some old issues from 2017 to 2018. And then 2018, you said, I'm not going to keep them. I'm going to let them go. But you did. You didn't. You drug them right into 2018. You drug them right into 2019. And here you are in 2020. And the question is, are you going to continue dragging things from old, from past, from hurt into the new year, just like every other? Or are you going to let God really set you free this year? See, that choice is yours and that decision is yours. And we're going to confront that through this journey. If you're willing, we're going to take you on an amazing journey this year here at New Life Church, an amazing ride, and I'm excited for it. So here's what we're going to do. I've got three things that we're going to move on from. Three areas that I believe we need to let go and move on. I'm going to cover these briefly, and then we're going to talk about four areas that we need to embrace in the new year. And then we're going to pray and receive communion this morning. So if you're filling out your notes, number one is this. I think we all need to move on from old history. Old history. It's time to clear that history in the positive way. And I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the breakups and the divorces. I'm talking about bad relationships. I'm talking about the pain and the hurts. I'm talking about bad jobs, mistakes, poor decision. I'm talking about so many different things. And what ends up happening is if you're not careful, you'll let the very worst of last year define who you are in this year. You allow the very worst in that event. And we all know what that event is, that event that all of a sudden means more. Because it hurt more, or because it was more painful, or because it was more complicated, and all of a sudden that event starts to define us. And that event starts to, in a lot of ways, shape us for 2020. And it's time to let that go. Clear that history. Isaiah 43, 18. Forget. Whoa. Forget. Pastor Josh, see, this is where I check out because this is where you lose me. The Bible, it just makes things way too, it's like you think it's so easy to just forget. You think it's just so easy to forget. make it sound like it's just something anybody can do. Just forget. But see, this is the power of the gospel. Maybe on your own you can't, but through the power of God you can. He says, forget. You can actually do this. God will give you the power. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. God says, listen, if you'll let me, if you'll allow me this year, through the word of God, I'll launch you into a new season where the old things are cleared out. The old things are wiped out. He says, I want to take you on this journey. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And it springs up. It's actually right now. And then the Bible asks a question that just permeates. It hits me right in the heart as a pastor. Do you not perceive it? Don't you see it? Don't you see it? And see, I think that the role that I'm supposed to play in your life is to help us to see this new thing that God wants to do in us, this new thing that God wants to do through us. But in order for that to happen, you've got to make a decision that I'm going to clear the history. I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to move on from the past. Listen, now is the time. Now is the time. God wants to start this new thing. And so if I have to, I'm going to honk the horn a little bit and get us moving so that we can start this new journey. Because here's what happens. If I'm behind you and the light turns green and you miss it, we both miss it. This is why a video like they shared for Celebrate Recovery is so powerful, because it required someone's help to bring that freedom. And if you are hurt and you are stuck, then I am hurt and I am stuck. That's how families work. That's how families thrive, is that we care enough that what you go through and you feel, I go through and I feel. And so I want you moving, because when you move, I move. So we got to start with clearing the history. He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Second thing that many of us need to walk away from, be set free from, help, let God help us. And that is, a bunch of us need to move on from our old habits. Old habits. And when I say old habits, I'm talking about also addictions. Addictions. A lot of us have not only allowed, but we've invited things into our life over the past year or two. Old habits, things that are destructive, things that are not healthy, things that are tearing us apart. A lot of us have gotten even more addicted to our cell phones and addicted to computers, addicted to television, addicted to Netflix and everything else. We've got some of us have gotten addicted to certain foods. Some of us have got addicted to certain drugs and certain ways of living. Some of us, we have invited different things into our life. Like, for example, some of us, we have had a problem where it started as just an accident. You said a few words, and all of a sudden now you're saying it on purpose. And now your language doesn't reflect the language of God. And these are things that are destructive. They're destructive. And these habits, the Bible says we got to clear these things up. We got to clear these things up. And if you're not careful, what you started to do by accident becomes a habit and a routine. And now you're living this way. And now you're getting upset at me for telling you need to change, because you're thinking, this is just who I am now. This is not who God created you to be. All right, Pastor Josh, I'll give you that one. That was a good one. But what am I supposed to do about it? What am I supposed to do about this? Well, how do I change these bad habits? I'm so glad you asked. Because here's what we're going to start beginning tomorrow. January 6th through Sunday, January 26th, we are doing 21 days of fasting and prayer. 21 days of prayer and fasting. And during those 21 days of prayer and fasting, we are going to lay things down that have been holding us back, and we are going to pursue God with everything in us. I mean, with everything in us. This is something that we're going to do the beginning of every year, and we're going to make more time for growing. Now, I don't want you getting legalistic with this and, you know, I'm going to go in an all juice fast and 3 days later I'm visiting you in the hospital. Don't do that. I'm going to only drink water. Shut up. No, you're not. Don't get legalistic and insane with this. Don't get crazy. Nobody in here is in danger of starving themselves to death, but at the same time, listen, what I'm talking about is that thing that you've had in your life that has been mastering you, I'm not going to let it master me any longer. That's what this comes down to. That thing in my life that has been mastering me, that I know needs change, I'm not going to let it master me. Listen, All of a sudden in the last 2 months, I have been living so healthy since I was like 38 years old. I cut out, if y'all know me, when I was youth pastor and earlier on, I preached regularly about Swiss cake rolls, Doritos, and Mountain Dew. Like it was in every message because I loved them so much. And how long has it been since you heard me talk about any of that? It's because I really cut a lot of that out of my life and started living healthier. And for the last 2 months, man, I am all in on sweets. I can't get enough candy. My wife threw away a bag of Halloween candy that had been sitting in the cabinet that I had been snacking on since October. And I was devastated. I was like, Meg, what is wrong with me? Like, there were a couple Hershey bars that were up in the cabinet. I complained about those Hershey bars being missing for like 3 days straight. What happened to the Hershey bars? Where'd they go? Meg's like, go to Exxon and buy one. What is wrong with you? Buy one of that one. Like, nuts. I'm all in on candy and sweets all of a sudden. For some reason, all of a sudden, this stuff is mastering me. So guess what? I'm going to fast. Yeah. I'm going to fast that thing because I can't. Listen, is it wrong for me to have any sweets at all? No, of course not. Of course not. But that can't have me. It can't own me and it can't master me. And so I've got to make some changes. Now, Pastor Josh, so that mean you don't want any sweets through 21 days? No, I'm going to want them real bad. I want them. I'm going to probably want them worse at first. But I'm willing to take time and lay something down and pursue God and allow the growth of God because I don't want anything in my life mastering me. And so some of us, we've got to make some tough calls. If you're not fasting of food like I am, then some of you need to lay down your social media for 21 days or cut it out. Some of you might need to lay your phone down a little bit earlier in the day because we've gotten so consumed. I'm just being honest with you today. Anything that is mastering you other than Jesus is not healthy. It's not spiritually healthy. And so some of us, we got to step up. And that's why we're taking 21 days and we're going to be fasting. This is what the Bible talks about. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the kind of fasting that I've chosen for you? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, and set the oppressed free, and break every yoke. Break every yoke. I'm telling you, these 21 days can be so powerful, if you'll follow through with this. Is fasting a way of punishing ourselves so we get closer to God? Absolutely not. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural at all. It's not a teaching you'll find in the Bible. Fasting is when I just simply do my best to separate from the world and take that time and pursue God and let God speak to me. Now, if you are going to join me and a lot of us on this fast and you don't know anything about fasting, nlcwv.com, right there on the front page, there's a link that takes you to our 21 days of prayer, and there's a fasting guide. There is a prayer journal. There are so many different things there that you can use as tools and resources. So I encourage you to get on there and use that if you have any questions about it. Third thing we're going to move on from. So we're going to move on from old hurts. We're going to move on from old hurts. So it's like we've been wounded and we've been hurt and we can't seem to break away from it. And it's still defining our life. Yeah, but that person, Pastor Josh, what they said, that thing that I went through, what I gone through, and it's so difficult. What am I supposed to do about it? Here's what you're supposed to do about it. Forgive it and move on. Forgive him and move on. I mean, can you unscramble the eggs? No. Once those eggs have been scrambled, man, there's no going back. And so what are you trying? What are you doing? All you're doing is reliving pain and hurt that you don't need to go through anymore. And you need to let the healing power of God flow through you, heal your heart, forgive them, and clear it out. Move on from it. Now is the time. There's no reason to keep going through the pain of maybe the mistakes that you made or what somebody did to you or what happened or the missed opportunities. There's no reason to keep reliving something that is painful. Jesus came to set you free from that pain. Don't relive it. Don't keep going through it. Embrace what God has for you ahead of you. It's a lot ahead of you. So the Bible teaches this, 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. If anyone is in Christ, in other words, if you're a Christian today, this is something that you need to be identified by. You should be marked by what he's about to say. If you are a Christian, then your life is marked by this. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled. Everybody say reconciled. You ought to underline that in your notes. Reconciled us through Christ. What does reconciled mean? Reconciled means this, that God took the balance down to zero. Now listen, for God to have taken the balance down to zero means that there was a balance. It means there was one. It means I had one. It means you had one. But God, through his infinite love for us, he erased and took that balance down to zero. And that's what he does. He comes along. And this is why he does that. Because honk, honk, he wants you moving forward. He wants you seeing that green light and moving on with your life. So he says, I'm going to take this balance down to zero. I'm not going to relive it. Don't want you to relive it. I'm not going to hold it against you. I don't want you feeling condemned because of it. But walk in the freedom and the forgiveness and the love and the grace that I'm showing you right here. I wrote in your notes, write this down. I can't start the next chapter if I keep rereading the last one. Your life is telling a story, and you can't start the next chapter if you keep rereading and reliving the last one. You've got a new chapter. Start it. Start this new chapter. Start living in this life that God's got for you. Again, a lot of us are defined by our habits and our hurts and our pains and our history. And so what do? Well, here's the beautiful thing about what I get to do is that this is not a motivational speech. There's no power in that. This is the gospel, which means everything that I'm sharing with you backed by the word of God has power in it. This gospel, God says, I don't want you just living and following this journey. I'm going to back it with my power so that you can do it. I'm going to help you follow through. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But this is something that I will back up. I will power so that you can help. You can walk through this. So I was reading in Matthew chapter 4, and this is pretty cool. Matthew chapter 4, we've got it in your notes about making this change. So John the Baptist, Jesus, they both had this same message. And of course, Jesus lived his life on this earth 33 years. And for the first part, we get a little bit of glimpse of his childhood and his early life, just a little bit of a glimpse. And then it's like this big space where we have no idea of how he lived his life. And then he turns 30 years old. And at 30 years old, he starts his ministry. And his ministry lasted approximately 3 years. So we know that whatever he went through up to the age of 30 was to prepare him for those 3 years of ministry. And this is interesting here because Jesus, he's getting ready to launch into his ministry, step out onto the scene, and he's getting baptized, taking water baptism, and that's something that you can take a step and follow your Lord Jesus through baptism as well. It's a powerful, powerful way to go public for the Lord. And so the Bible says he had prayed and fasted, but he had this message that he wanted to share. And in Matthew 4:17, he shares this message. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. And what is that word? Repent. From that time on, Jesus began to preach the word repent. Now in the Greek, it's the word metaneo. Metaneo. And it means to change. Change what? Change my mind. Change my mind. And what's awful about the word repent is that so many of us have taken it and turned it into a negative thing. And I don't know why. I don't know why we've turned repent into something negative. Maybe it has to do with, you know, soapbox preachers get on there and tell everybody to turn or burn. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But repent is one of the most positive, encouraging things you'll read in Scripture. It's one of the most powerful things we'll find in the Word of God. He says, repent. You can change your mind. You can actually reformat your mind to live for Jesus. Not think the old way, not live the old way, but embrace this new life that God has for you. And he says, for this to happen, you got to get in the Word of God. But he says, if you'll repent for the kingdom of heaven. Now, this jumped out at me. This jumped out at me because the kingdom of heaven, what that was telling me is that it means a lot of us, let me say it this way. We've been the king of our own kingdom. And some of us are lousy kings. Let's just be real. We've been terrible kings. I mean, miserable kings of our own kingdom. And it's time to dethrone ourselves and place the crown back on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who knows best for our life, and trust his way and get out of the kingdom of Josh. Out of the kingdom of Josh Huffman and get back into the kingdom of heaven, living for the kingdom of God. And he says, this kingdom of heaven here, he says, it's near. It's near. And I love that. I love that it has come near. So when Jesus steps on the scene, he says this, listen, I know that this isn't easy, but it's not. You're not serving a God who's so far off in the distance. You're not serving a God who's just up in heaven and he pulls out his, you know, divine fly swatter and swats you every time you do something wrong and beats you up and condemns. No, he says, this kingdom is near you. In other words, it's not nearly as difficult as you've told yourself it is. And a lot of us have struggled with this in our minds. We've said, there's no way God can use me this way. There's no way God can forgive this. There's no way God can bless this. There's no way, because I've done too much, or I've been gone too long, or I've not been right, or I've been this, or I've been that. And Jesus steps on the scene and says, cut that out. This kingdom of heaven, this life-changing, mind-renewing kingdom, it's near. All you have to do is reach out and take it. Step into this kingdom. So he says, now is the time. He's closer than you think he is. This life you want in Christ is closer. So much closer than you think it is. So much closer. So here's what we've got, some things to step into. Four areas. Four areas that I believe that we need to step into. Number one, now is the time to get closer to God. Now is the time to get closer to God. Well, Pastor Josh, I already love Jesus. Great. Get closer. Well, Pastor Josh, I already read my Bible. And that's great. That's awesome. Get closer. Get closer to God. See, I love God. I don't know that I've loved God more than I do right now in my life. I'm 40 years old. I love Jesus. I've been serving Him basically my entire life. I've been in full-time ministry over 20 years with my wife. I have been following Jesus for over 35 years. I got saved at 5 years old. I remember it. It wasn't like some childhood distant memory and I don't really know what happened. No, I remember the day. I remember the person. I remember praying the prayer. It's been real ever since then. But let me tell you something. God spoke to my heart over the first part of this past week, and He said, listen, I need you to step out. I need you to chase me more than ever before. And it wasn't one of those desperation things where I felt like, all right, it's get closer to God or else. Dun, dun, dun. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was like this holy gravitational pull of God just drawing me to Himself. And so I have determined that, especially over the next 21 days where we're praying and fasting, that even though I've been serving Jesus for 35 plus years, even though I've been in full-time ministry over 20 years, that I'm going to chase Jesus like I just got saved last night. And I'm going to encourage you all to do the same. I'm going to be so hungry for God and go after His word and after His love and after His grace and after His power and after Him like never before. And I'm encouraging you, follow me. Follow this. Let's get more excited, get closer to God than we've ever gotten before. And this is an urgency. This is what the Bible says in James 4. Come close to God. Love that. Come close to God. But it's a step that you've got to take first. You come close to God. You come close to God. Go through this process. Then he says this. Wash your hands and purify your hearts. And this is heavy. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Now, that's pretty convicting. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world, and that's a very interesting thing to ask yourself. Have my loyalties gone to other places other than to God? Did my loyalties in 2019 get divided between God and self and God and person and God and all these different things? And I think one of our problems that keep us from becoming the best version of ourselves, of who God's called us to be, is that we keep thinking it's just supposed to be easy. And I just wanted to say this to somebody, that if you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. If you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. You've got to step out. You've got to take some faith risks. There's a difference between taking a risk and taking a faith risk. A faith risk is something that God has instructed. God has led, God has kind of nudged, and He's drawing you to take. And when you take a faith risk, you're not walking by sight, you're walking by faith. Because it makes no sense to the eyes. Makes no sense at all to step out and do some of these things, but God's calling us to do them. And when you step out, He backs it. It pleases Him. And He's saying, this year I want you to draw closer to me. What would your life, and I'm gonna be a little hard right now. So if you're new here, just chill. This isn't to you. This is to my old new lifers. What would your life look like if you came to church 52 Sundays a year? Well, I can answer that for you. It would look better, wouldn't it? Now, I know that's not possible for everybody, different work, but I'm just putting the challenge out there. Because right now, recent church attendance statistics say that most people attend church 1.6 a month. How do you even get that, 1.6? Like, shouldn't it be just a nice round number, one or two? No, 1.6. And I thought, man, what would your life look like if for the next 21 days you've prayed and you fasted and you really took this serious? I'll answer that one too. It would look better. You would draw closer to God. Say amen or oh me, but we're moving on. Second thing, now's the time for you to get real honest with a friend. Now is the time for you to get real honest with a friend. I got news for you. You're not going to be able to get to where God wants you to go by yourself. You're not even going to be able to get to where God wants you to go with just God. You want to know why? It's because God didn't make it that way. He didn't design it that way. If you're following, now we started, I don't know how many of you are doing this, I've heard a bunch of you, but we started a 30-day shred. We're reading through the Bible in 30 days. It's been insane and it's awesome and I'm loving it. And somebody said, you can't learn from the, you know, God won't speak when you're reading so quickly. Like, he's speaking plenty. He's speaking a ton. I'm getting so much out of this. I'm wearing it out. It's been great, but if you just read through Exodus, you read where Moses, the anointed prophet of God, he couldn't even set the people free by holding up the staff. His arms got tired. He needed people to help hold that up for him, didn't he? You can't get to where God wants you to go all by yourself. God didn't design it that way. We need, and you need to write this word down, we need help. We need friends. We need each other. We need accountability. You need someone taking this journey with you. And some of us, we've committed, but we've never really signed up for anything. That's why this is so important in 2020. If you've never signed up to serve, to join a serve team and start serving alongside people and volunteering and getting to know people and getting connected. That's why we have the amazing, right now, it's just tearing it up, Made for More Women's Ministry. It's doing amazing things and transforming lives. It's awesome what God's doing through the women's ministry. It's why we're getting ready to launch a new men's ministry. I'm excited that God's really taking and putting together so many different things. Again, honk, honk. Now is the time. We need each other. Third thing, now is the time for you to get in sync with your real purpose and your real passion. Get in sync with your real purpose and your real passion. See, some of you pursued things last year and it just for some reason didn't measure up. Well, that's because you weren't pursuing something that you were really passionate about. It didn't scratch the itch, man. It just didn't have it. And it's not your real purpose and it's probably likely not your real passion. Look in Galatians 6. It's on your notes. I love this. I'd actually never taught this before. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Boom. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves. And it's a healthy pride, not a bad pride, a healthy pride alone without comparing themselves to someone else. What this is literally saying is look deep on the inside of you for who God created you to be and pursue those passions. Pursue that purpose. Take pride. Don't compare yourself. How much better off would we be living in 2020 if we could just simplify life into living in a way where we know who we are? I know who I am, and I'm confident in who I am. I don't have to be you. I don't have to be you. I don't have to be him. I don't have to be this Instagram person. I don't have to be this Facebook personality. I don't have to be this. I am who I am. God made me this way, and I don't need to be anything other than me. And God's going to bless me just like I am. And he's going to work with me. I'm not perfect, but God will use me. How powerful would it be to live this life, live in that way? That's why we're setting up programming through the rest of this year and services and events and different things to help you on this journey. Even when we start into the Valentine's season up in February, my wife and I are putting together a marriage series so that we can help married couples strengthen their relationship in a way. And listen, this isn't going to be easy. We're not taking the easy path. This is going to be difficult. This is going to require discipline. This is going to require you to be real honest. I mean, absolute, unfiltered honest with your heart and yourself and say, okay, this needs to change in me. We're putting things together to help us to grow and to take this journey and become who God's called us to be. Fourth thing, now is the time to get on doing something greater than myself. Doing something greater than myself. In other words, I want to do something that matters. I want to do something that matters. I was praying and I just felt in my heart that God wanted me to say this, to declare 2020 a year of joy. To just declare 2020 a year of joy over this church and over these people. There are so many people that live daily without joy. I mean, just have lost joy. We're more connected now than we ever have been with Facebook and with Instagram and with Twitter and with TikTok and everything else. So many different ways to connect. And people are still living joyless and empty. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a year of joy for us and our church. And I see this missing in so many people's lives. And you don't get joy from more money. You don't get joy from sunny days. You don't get joy from, the politics are all working out in your favor and everything's working out. You don't get joy from all the nice neighbors, and you don't lose joy from bad neighbors, even though I've had both. That's not where true joy comes from. True joy comes from the inside. It comes from your relationship with God. It comes through fulfillment of the purpose and passion of God in your life. It comes from joy in the Holy Ghost, joy in your relationship with Jesus. Ephesians 2:10, God creates each one of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work. Everybody say work.
Work.
That's a four-letter word, isn't it? Work. That's why we use the word serve and go, is because you got some work to do. God does his part, but guess what? I've got to do mine. He says, there's a work here. It's going to require effort. There's going to be some sweat. There's going to be some nights where you got to take and you got to sacrifice. There's going to be some time that you got to sacrifice. There's going to be some work in this. But this is the kind of work, this is the kind of effort, he says, that when we get going, we do this. This is a good work from God, where when we complete it, we lay our head down on our pillow and we say, thank you, God. This is how this is supposed to feel, the fulfillment of joy and purpose and passion and making a difference and applying my life in a way that matters, doing something significant. He finishes it up with, we better get to doing. I love it. We better get going here. Honk, honk. The light is green. I put this in your notes. Or you could write this down. Yeah, I think I left this out of your notes. My bad. If I'll dedicate my life to something greater than myself, God will fill my life with passion and adventure, and that's where my joy comes from. Dedicate your life to something greater than yourself. He'll fill your life with passion and adventure, and that real joy comes in. This is where I put in your notes. I can't go back and change the beginning. Can't do that, but I can start where I am and change the ending. I can start where I am, and I can change the ending. And you know, this is the beauty of serving the Lord, is that we serve a God who not only wants this for you, but he empowers you to do it. He gives you the ability to do this, to change, and to step into his plan. So Proverbs says this. Proverbs' dad preached this so great last Sunday. Proverbs in 29 says to write the vision and make it plain. And the reason why he tells you to write the vision is because if you don't write it down, you're not actually writing, you're not speaking or declaring a vision for your life. You're just wishing. And God doesn't grant wishes. He answers prayer. He responds to his word. And so when you write it down, there's something significant about that. And so here's what my encouragement is for everybody in here, is that whether you have your vision written out for your life right now already, that is awesome. If you do, if you don't, take time and pray. Take time and seek God. God, what is your vision for my life? I'm placing you king over my life. No more King Josh, King Jesus. And then you write that vision down for your life. Write it on your handout if you need to. Take another sheet of paper and write it down on that. We've got on the out in the lobby on the left wall there, we have a big banner that says, Believing God in 2024. Write that vision. You can fill it out anonymously. You don't have to write your name and your phone number and your email address. Don't do that. But write your vision down. See, we're going to be praying over that wall, over that banner every single week, every single day here at New Life Church, for the fulfillment of the vision of God in your life. But for the fulfillment to take place, it needs to be a vision from God. From God, for you. So write that vision down. Believe in God. Trust God in 2020.